Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
I think one of the things that you learn growing up is that you're not the center of the universe. You know, we start that way as infants. You know, we're born and we're so dependent. We're so needy. Everything has to come from somebody. And then we get a little bit older and learn how to tie our shoes and feed ourselves and all that kind of stuff. And we get into adolescence and still struggling probably with the idea that the world does not revolve around us, that we're not the sun. And then we get into young adulthood and adulthood and eventually realize that there's this, you know, this vast solar system of other people, of stars and planets, and we are not the sun. We're just another star, another planet in this vast sort of complex tapestry of humanity. And it's easy, even in our adulthood sometimes, to forget that our experience of life is not necessarily the person sitting next to us's experience of life, that they may be going through something different than we're going through. Some people in a room like this will be in a season of incredible joy and happiness. They'll be having an absolute blast with life. Maybe there's new kids on the way. Maybe there's new opportunities in life, job opportunities, or schooling is exciting, or they're just in a good season. And so this time of year is a great one. Families coming in from out of town, they're excited to see loved ones. But then there's probably, in a room like this, other people who are having a difficult time at the Christmas season, because it brings back painful memories, and it reminds them of some of the stresses that they're experiencing in life, and it can be a little bit of a struggle. And so that's one of the incredibly beautiful things about being a part of the church, is that we can identify with each other's celebrations and areas of life that are good and joyful. And we can also consider those amongst us who are struggling. And so before we begin the sermon, as we've prayed already this morning, I feel it's important just to say a few words for those of us that are suffering or struggling at this time of year, as it can be quite strong for some people. The season can be a difficult one. As I said, burdened with financial strain or personal loss or relational discord or physical illness. But we have to be reminded that above all, the celebration of this season is the reminder that Jesus is with us. And so I want to remind those of you who are suffering and struggling today that Christmas is about sharing. It's a time of sharing great joy and gladness at the hope that Jesus brings. But it's also a time of shared sadness and shared suffering. Sometimes we miss that at Christmas time. Because this time of year, we need to remember that God didn't simply eliminate our pain or our loneliness or our suffering at his birth. Though the hope of all of that was born, at Christmas we remember that God himself enters a cold, dark world, born to be the light of it. But he identifies and he shares even in our suffering, in our poverty, in our loneliness, and in our pain. Christ was born into poverty. He was ignored by most of the people in the world. And though he was celebrated by just a few meager shepherds, he largely went unnoticed. The attention that he did draw to himself was persecution. His life was sought even as an infant, and he lived on the run with his parents in his early years of life. The child grew up and learned the sting of rejection. Jesus learned the pain of slander, the heart-wrenching death of loved ones. He learned the betrayal of friends, even his eventual persecution and unjust and horrific death. The writer of the Hebrews tells us that Jesus understands our weaknesses. He understands our struggles, and he knows them personally. He knows them intimately. Being fully God and fully human, Jesus understands pain. He understands death. He understands suffering, loss, loneliness, and heartache. He experienced it. So, truthfully, Matthew writes, he will be called Emmanuel, God with us, God very much with us, humanity. God with us in suffering, God with us in tears, God with us in joyful moments, and God with us in sad. And so, please be reminded today, wherever you are, that God is with you. You are not alone in this. You are not forgotten. All is not lost. Quite the opposite. Because at this time of year, we remember that God has sought you out, and he has found you. And as Jesus says to us later in his life, I will not leave you or ever forsake you. In other words, I am still Emmanuel, God with you. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray over anyone in this room working and struggling through anything. And we ask in Jesus' name that your peace would be upon them this season over these next few days. And they would experience you and the gift that you are in incredible ways. We invite you in, Jesus. We invite you to comfort us in our suffering, to weep with us as we mourn. We invite you to hope with us as we wait in uncertainty. We thank you for the gift that you are to us this Christmas, no matter what state we're in. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Earlier in December, we'll be doing a bunch of things to celebrate Christmas, not just singing and gift giving, but we've been trying to give to the community and doing that in a bunch of different ways. And one of the ways that we did that was through the Fort Langley Christmas Card initiative, where we deliver cards to the business owners in Fort Langley. And so if you haven't done that yet, there's still a bunch of cards on the table. I think it's about 2025. Those need to go out today. So please take one and deliver one today if you get a chance to do that. But one of the fun things that we did in connection with the card this year, it's our third year doing it, is we invited our kids to draw a picture, and we had a bit of a competition and selected one of those pictures to go into the card. And so I spoke with Deanna in November and said, could we do this on a Sunday? She said, that sounds like a great idea. And we asked the kids, simply draw Christmas or Christmas in Fort Langley. One of the two. And so I think we got about 50 or 60 submissions from the kids. And they're all super good. Everyone was incredible. And I said earlier in December, I promised to show you some of them rather than just the one that's on the card. And so we're going to do a little bit of that this morning before we continue. I'll show you, first of all, the very first one there. This is the one that ended up, you can go to the next slide there, John, being in the card. This is Michaela's drawing. And she did a great job. We selected this because of the mountains of Fort Langley area, and we thought that really spoke to the community. And then we have the manger and stable scene here with the little star, and we just thought that was quite cute, and that scanned really well into the computer. So we used that one. And then next one there, John. This one I especially like. I don't know who this is by, but I think it's I don't know, it speaks to me. It's got like this blues and these greens and these stars, if you can just see in the top there. It's a bit washed out. But and then you've got this lonely sort of manger stable here. And I think it speaks to sort of the desolate wasteland of our hearts and how Christ is born into it to bring light and hope. I may be reading a little bit too much into this kid's drawing, but I don't know. There's something about it. Next one, John. This one, a lot of people wanted to put in, but for the spelling mistake of Christ in there. But a really good Christmas tree. One of the best Christmas trees that we saw. Really, really well done. Another really great one, next one there, John, is Fort Langley at Christmas. So we have the stars and we've got the trees that are decorated, and it looks like that's the fort in the background there, which I think is pretty cool. Next one there, John. This is a classic, my favorite. You can see there we've got Joseph with the sort of an Amish beard, And we've got the animals. We've got baby Jesus. We've got Mary, who appears to be doing inverted push-ups on the manger. Because we live on the West Coast, and health is important. Postnatal health is really important. And her fitness coach, the sheep, in the background there is giving it going on. This one's a little washed out, but I personally really think this was a fantastic one. We've got a Christmas tree. We've got people who look like they're singing Christmas carols, but they're actually screaming because this was the Christmas that the aliens came. Abducted some of us and dropped nukes on the rest of us. And I thought this one was way out to lunch when I got it and I looked at it. I enjoyed it. I was like, this kid, I don't know, they need some help. But then I thought maybe they had heard a little bit too much about all the end of the world stuff. But I thought that was fantastic. And then I like, you can see at the top there, the aliens are saying, go, go, go. It's just awesome. And the last one here is, I think it's one of the really good picture. We've got one of the best Christmas trees that we saw submitted. We've got what looks to be some kind of rug. And then we've got maybe a coffee table, some presents under the tree. But I want you to notice that one present and how that one is especially marked. And we're not sure, but we think this kid may have thought that they were taking this back to their parents. And perhaps this was some kind of hint. And so I believe this child's name is Aiden. And so if you're a parent of a child named Aiden and you haven't got them Lego for Christmas, my suggestion would be to do that as quickly as possible. Has everybody finished their Christmas shopping, or is people still going out? Yeah, I've done mine. Mine are finished, but I have it pretty easy. I've got, I'm an only child, so it's my parents and I on Christmas morning, and so I just sort of buy for them, and it's pretty straightforward. It's not that difficult. In fact, I've had it easy for, since I was a kid, and as a kid, it was definitely simple, definitely straightforward. Because as a kid, you can really give your parents anything, and they're pleased with it, right? And I remember around the time when I was probably 10, that I realized this, that I could give them anything and they'd be pleased with it. And so the effort level began to go down a little bit. Because it came from me and I was their only child, it went down a little bit. So they started to get rocks at Christmas time and on birthdays. And I stretched this out for a few years, probably about 3. And then I realized I can't keep giving them rocks. I didn't just give them rocks, though. I painted on the rock. I drew on the rock. And you know what? Bless their hearts. My dad used to have one of the rocks that I painted for him on his bedside table for years and years, like well into when I was like a teenager. And like, good for you, Dad. I don't know what he's done with it now. But, you realize, because I could give them anything, and you realize as a kid that they're not in it for the gifts as you are often as a kid at Christmas time. Your parents are just happy with what you have made for them, that it's about the giver rather than the gift. And that's what we celebrate mostly at Christmas, that it's about the giver more than it's about the gift. And although our culture gets seemingly really wrapped up with materialism and consumption and extravagance in a lot of ways that seems unnecessary, I do think that at the core of our culture's understanding of Christmas is this reality, that it is about the giver and it's not necessarily about the gift. I think that they do get that because we see the themes and this theme coming up again, again, and again. We see it in songs, a lot of the songs that have been written years ago and the new ones that are coming out today, things like I'll Be Home for Christmas, or Blue Christmas, where someone's sad that somebody else isn't with them at Christmas time. We see song after song that seems to keep saying it's not about the tree, it's not about the mistletoe, it's not about the snow, it's not about this. The only thing I want, in Mariah Carey's words, all I want for Christmas is you. And so our culture, to some extent, is making the connection that it's important to be together at Christmas and that the people that you are surrounded by are who truly matters. And everything else is kind of on the outside. It's an added bonus. Our culture gets the idea that togetherness is important. And togetherness at Christmas comes from somewhere. The notion that it's important to be together comes from somewhere. And it comes from Christianity. That's where it's found. Values of family, togetherness, unity, love, they're all rooted in Christianity. Leanne taught about this really clearly a few weeks ago as we started this series, talking about the gift that we get. The God of the Bible, unlike other deities emerging from history, the God of the Bible is near. He's constantly described as near or with man. And the culmination or apex of this nearness is the coming of Jesus in the story of God as found in the Bible. The gift of Jesus, which we celebrate at Christmas. And Leanne put it this way. God doesn't give us what we don't need. God gives us what we need. And so God not only provides for us in a number of ways, but he meets our needs at the deepest possible level. Other ancient deities were worshipped and appealed to in hopes for a good crop or children or healthy animals or somehow that life would go well for them in some way, shape, or form. People worshipped to have their needs met. That was the function of worship. But the God of the Bible and his story centers around him coming to us and dwelling with us. And this means that our deepest need as humans to be known and loved and be in relationship with our Creator is met. All those other needs are superfluous. But the deepest need of being one with God, connected to God, in relationship with God, that need is met. God doesn't just give us stuff or provision or each other, though those things are deeply beneficial. He gives us himself, the originator of life, the source. And the source, we learn at Christmas time, is with us. And so from this key idea that we celebrate at Christmas, we derive the importance of being together at Christmas. Because God is with us, we desire to be with each other. Relationship, intimacy, togetherness is all God's idea. It all emanates from God. And so our most primal human desires are appealed to. Oneness with God, that need is met, and togetherness with other people. And that's why Christmas strikes at the heart of our most basic needs and calls us back to what we want most. Unity with God and relationship with other people. Genuine, intimate relationship with other people. In other words, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Oddly, we express this by cluttering Christmas sometimes rather than simplifying it. We overcomplicate it with expectations of parties and feasts and gifts and elaborate decorations. But these are, they're simply feeble attempts to express the importance of the season. Christmas and its deepest meaning and message hits a nerve, though, in our culture. And that's why I believe it evokes such passion. There's lots of fun that goes on, but at the end of the day, there's something that tweaks inside Western culture that says, that seems to be what life is really about. There's something of a nugget and truth in that. Even if Christ is separated from Christmas in some people's view. The themes and the things that they value, love and togetherness and caring for each other, those all come from somewhere. Deep down, the human heart desperately wants to know God and be known by others. It wants to be reached. And so this is why we write songs at Christmas about being together. It's why every boy band under the sun has written a song each year about, it's just about you, baby. I'm giving my, it's just me and you. It's just me and you. I'm your gift. In other words, I'm too cheap, or I haven't spent enough time to actually go and get you a present. It's why we tell stories of reconciliation at Christmas time, of people who are estranged from family or estranged from friends or estranged from their whole communities and then become a part of it again. It's why people travel thousands of miles to just be with loved ones for, you know, a day or two. Some people travel for hours and hours and hours just for a few moments with somebody that they love. It's why we have 18 Christmas dinners over 4 days. How many people are having two Christmas meals? It could be breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Two, okay. How many people are having three? Anybody having four? We got one back here. Anybody having five? Okay, we're topping out at four. Oh, we have five? Wow, Josh is ringing in with five Christmas. Why do we spread ourselves so thin? Because we realize that, well, we've got to see these people, because even if we're estranged from them for the majority of the year, at Christmas time, we have to express on some level that we do care for each other. And that brings us back to that reality. I see some of my extended family members maybe once a year, and it's on Boxing Day, because that's what we do on Boxing Day. And there's a bond that is kept there, even though we're not regularly in relationship, because we believe the relationship that we've had in the past matters. So that's why we do a lot of the stuff that we do, why we gather in each other's homes. That's why we're doing what we're doing on the 30th, to be able to spend time with each other, because we believe that's the true heart of Christmas, is being together. And that's why it's hard for many of us at Christmas when we reflect on the people missing, whether that's because of distance or lack of time or death. We remember that they're not here. So that's trying. That's hard. So if Christmas tells us anything, it's that God's great generosity of his presence with us has been shown in the hopes that mankind would mimic such action. God's generosity goes beyond material provision or even spiritual sustenance. God's generosity is the giving of himself to the world, as we said. And so what response should Christians have at Christmas but the selfless giving of themselves to those around them in dire need of a love shared, or a warm community, or a kind word, or a hand held, or a meal served, or a smile shared, or a relationship restored? The great joy of Christmas, I believe, is not just that Christ comes to us, but that we can go to others. No longer locked in a self-centered cycle of addiction to material things or slaves to calendars and clocks. At Christmas, Jesus turns me time into we time. He does this by modeling how far the love of God will go for the human heart. And this inspires us to do the same by the same love and in the same spirit. Christmas reminds us, I think, the core of who we are, of our purpose on the planet. The marveling at the baby in a manger must morph into action on our parts, or we've missed sort of the whole point. God with us and us with others. That's the meaning of Christmas. As we close, I want to consider a quote together. This was penned by a man named Charles Spurgeon, who was a preacher a number of years ago, passed away last century. He said this: "Let us greatly long, for God will greatly give." I really like that quote. I discovered it in November, and I put it on my whiteboard at home, and I've just been thinking about it a lot. And it brings me personally a lot of encouragement, because it says to me that I can dream, I can hope, I can long for good things from God. I can long for a better relationship with him. I can long for a better relationship with the people around me. I can long for the gifts that he will give me in life. I can long for a good life with him. And because he's a generous giver, if it's according to his plan, he will give. So let us greatly long, for God will greatly give. But I wonder if we could consider this quote through sort of a different grid this morning. Rather than thinking of ourselves individually longing for our own needs and desires and wills, what if we thought about the people in our lives and what they are longing for? Maybe we could ask the question and prepare ourselves to answer it. What are they longing for? What is your husband or your wife longing for? What are your children longing for? What is your extended family longing for? What are your parents longing for? What are your coworkers or your neighbors or the person ahead of you at Walmart? What are they longing for? What are these people longing for? And perhaps you can be a part of fulfilling what they are longing for in the next few days, even. What these people long for, God may give through you. That's a real potential in the next couple of days as we spend time with people that we love. Isn't it funny that it's often hard for us, the hardest for us, to express ourselves to the people that we're supposedly closest to? Hard for us to genuinely open up and tell them what we think, how we feel about them? I don't know. I'm just going to be really honest. Sometimes family get-togethers, they're just really awkward. And you're thinking, this is going to be 6 hours of conversation that feels really forced. Sometimes what if I just asked really honest questions? What if I really took an extra 10 minutes and thought, what are they really longing for? What could they really use from me? How could I be a gift to them in this season? And maybe it's not even about conversation. Maybe it's about serving. Maybe you sit on your butt all Christmas and somebody else does all the work. And you thought, but I'm tired. Maybe you can serve this Christmas in a way that you've never served before. Or maybe it is about just expressing yourself to the person that you know you need to express yourself to. And this theme has come up a few times this fall, and I feel impressed to say this again. Maybe some of us need to pick up a phone and call the person that there is a rift between them and us. And this is the time to do it. This is the season to do it. This is when hearts are that much more, just a little bit open. The gift has been given to you. You now embody the gift. And so I would just encourage you and challenge you, as I'm going to challenge myself over the next few days, how can I embody the gift of Christ at Christmas and be the kind of thing that people are longing for in conversation and in service and in any way, shape, or form? I encourage you to go into the Christmas season, go into tomorrow and that week following, asking the Holy Spirit to show you how you can be a gift to somebody else. Maybe they're living with you. Maybe you're going to spend a few hours with them. Maybe you're going to spend 20 minutes with them. I don't know. But consider that. What these people long for, God may give through you. Let's stand as we close. As Doug said, we invite you back tomorrow, Christmas Eve services. They are at 4:30, 5, 6, 9, midnight. Doug will do as many as you want. No. 4:30, 6, 7:15. So I'd love to see you tomorrow. Hot cider, kids' stories. It'll be a good time. Invite somebody. You never know, right? Jesus, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this season that we're about to enter. We thank you that you came to us and that we can go to others. And I pray, Jesus, that you would open our eyes to the people that you want us to see and our ears to the people that you want us to hear. And Jesus, that you would restore relationships that need to be restored and that you would give us the courage to do what you're calling us to do in this season. Father, help us to see you shine above every light and every gift this season. And I pray you'd inspire us to do the same. I want to close this morning by reading Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And we all said, Amen. Merry Christmas. Have a good rest of your day.